You cannot run from your little demons. They will just keep jumping on your back.
You've just tuned in to Rebel Wellness. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales, integrative clinical nutritionist in training, fitness pro of over a decade, and the woman who refused to accept normal when my body was screaming otherwise. If you're the high achiever who's been told your blood work is perfect while you're secretly Googling why you feel like garbage, if you're crushing it at work but your energy crashes at 3 p.m. and your cycle just feels off, or maybe you've been gaslit by providers who dismiss your symptoms as just stress, and you know something deeper is going on, you're my people. Here's where functional medicine meets real talk strategy. I created this podcast as your resource to take back the driver's seat on your health journey. Women are incredibly intuitive, and I'm here to help you reconnect with that voice. This isn't about perfection or another protocol to fail at. It's about finally getting the answers your body has been begging for and the tools that actually work in your real, messy, beautiful life. Less noise, more nourishment. Let's dive in. What's up, Rebels? I'm so excited to be back for season 4 of the Rebel Wellness Podcast. If you are new here, welcome to probably the best season that's going to happen. Just kidding. I'm just manifesting that. But I am really excited for those of you who are returning. I hope you are also happy to hear my voice again and have some fresh new content on its way, including today's episode, which we're kind of keeping in a good kind of return length. I'm not going to like come at you with another hour-long episode. So this season, I'm really looking forward to a lot of the discussions that we're going to have and what we're going to focus a little bit more into for season 4 of Rebel Wellness. And, you know, I think it's really important to kind of set the table with just reminding you that, like, as we dive deeper into a lot more of the nitty-gritty science and, you know, protocols or just overall discussion around more integrative clinical nutrition and overall health and well-being for you as a female, I do want to remind you that always remember that you must be listening with just kind of a curiosity ear and know that it is not like a prescription. It is not medical advice. It is not something for you to just take and run and apply to your life without consulting your professional team. But, you know, again, just because if you are new here and you've never listened to my show, I do want to remind you that kind of like I talked about in my intro for this season, it's really important to know that there is a difference between conventional medicine and, you know, integrative functional medicine or holistic medicine. There's a lot of different ways to approach our health overall. You know, some people love to go more towards the holistic side, which is going to be a lot more tuning into yourself and like centuries of intuitive wisdom with our bodies, because our bodies are so much smarter than we believe. Unfortunately, because of conventional medicine, we've become extremely disconnected from our bodies and, you know, that internal compass that is really important to have this balance of, because I do believe conventional medicine has brought us a ton of amazing insights, amazing solutions, and, you know, whether or not those were all because of problems that we have caused by our own modern medicine, you know, that's its own thing. But there's so much, you know, like acute surgeries for traumas, you know, all these different things we have to thank conventional medicine for, antibiotics, you know, all that stuff has kept many of us alive better and longer than in times past. So we kind of have to blend. I blend both sides because I do believe there is an important component that those different angles of wellness and medicine can bring to you. And we're not only just talking about medicine on this podcast. I do want to make sure that you know that we're talking a lot more about real life, you know, health and wellness that I think everybody should really be tuning into more and learn how to tune in for yourself. So this season, definitely expect to hear a lot more about how to nourish yourself well, the gut-brain connection, hormones, cycle support, fertility foundations, a lot more fertility discussions because that is very popular in, you know, not only my world, but also a lot of your guys' world as I've been learning through your feedback and discussions on social media or whatnot. And we do want to still keep a lot of solid conversations around GLP-1 medications. I have always found that these podcast episodes are a huge place for a lot of women looking for answers and more insights. And I have learned so much from being part of the care team of my clientele, past and present, who are utilizing, you know, lower dosing, microdosing is sometimes what it's called, for GLP-1 medications for various other health situations, and, you know, or using it because their doctor prescribed it to them for weight loss or diabetes. And there's so many important things that you really should know that most doctors are failing at telling you. So I'm going to be keeping a lot of those discussions in specific episodes throughout the season as well. So I hope that you guys stay tuned in for those if you are somebody who is very curious about it. All right, let's get into the meat and potatoes now, though. So today's episode, we're going to discuss a little bit about energy vampires, and not in the sense of people. You know, I'm sure we all may be thinking of somebody in our head that we know is an energy vampire in our life, but hidden lifestyle factors that can be stealing your, like, vitality for life come in and we don't even realize it. So I kind of think of it as these little, how would I put it? Like little ways that throughout your house. So let's think of your body as your house, and we have a power bill, right? And this is exceptionally pertinent to those of us who live on the West Coast or California specifically, because we have very expensive power bills here. And so we think about what ways can I reduce my energy expenditure, as in like ways that my house is bleeding energy and I don't realize it or I'm not immediately using it. And so, you know, sometimes even just like leaving a laptop charger plugged in and it actually still drains battery because it's got the big old block thing on it that's pulling electricity out. And, you know, leaving lights on throughout the very expensive times during like, what, 08 and whatnot, I just hear my mom in my ear being like, turn the light off when you're not in the room. I don't know if that's something that happened to you, but I was trained to turn off lights wherever I was not because it just wasted energy, which is a good habit, right? So those little things is like kind of a metaphor for in your life, ways that you are wasting and bleeding out energy in your life. And this is something I wanted to talk about to start off the season because stress is compounded from a lot of little things and a lot of big things. And most of the time we focus on the big things, right? And so it's really important that you tune in and think about ways that you are bleeding energy that you can maybe fix, repair, turn off, you know, whatever it is. I think that this will be really helpful for you to tune in and kind of take audit of your life and think about, where am I losing energy that I really should be maintaining or that I can optimize. And as I've been having this amazing break this summer from not just the podcast, but from school, because as those of you who may be following me for a while now, or if you haven't, I'm in grad school currently. I'm almost a full year down with my clinical nutrition program. Loving it. Absolutely loving it. Every single term, there's like multiple classes that I'm obsessed with. So this is exactly the right program for me. And I'm so excited to bring everything I'm learning to you guys to kind of continue to help you grow. And that's, you know, that's my main goal of why I'm back in school right now. And I did not realize just how many little things I was allowing into my life. And so really honing in on this like 3-month break where I've been paying attention to just focusing on what I need the most and what makes me feel the best has been exponentially beneficial for my management of my stress. Because as you may or may not know from previous podcasts, I have HPAD, so HPA axis dysfunction. Essentially, my stress hormones had been on high for so long that over time, you know, you may have heard this as adrenal fatigue. We're really trying to move away from that terminology in the more integrative functional medicine space. But for, you know, lack of better terms, if it just resonates with you, it's like adrenal fatigue, essentially the communication between your adrenal glands and your brain, your specifically your HPA axis is off. So for me, my cortisol and everything is not, it's not regulated well. I'm trying to just put this into layman terms for you guys. I will do another episode this season on HPAD specifically, because several of you have mentioned to me that you want to learn more. And I've been learning more, of course, trying to better understand my own challenges. So with that said, then it became exceptionally important that I pay attention to ways that I am bleeding energy. So I wanted to first kind of set the stage there, let you guys know what we're going to be doing and why today. And so I hope that, you know, take me on a drive with you, take me on a walk. I do love walks. So take me with you on a walk. or even if you're just chilling in your house, cleaning, cooking, I also love to be background noise while you cook, because then that means you're cooking, which is important too. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Oh, and make sure you stay tuned all the way to the end, because I'm going to be giving you actionable intel that you can implement into your life immediately, because that's very important. All right, so which we're going to label these as vampires. We're going to give them little personification here. So the first energy vampire that really I noticed several years ago, and I've talked about before in previous episodes, but the biggest one that might be coming into your life that you may not realize or might be a part of your life and has been for a long time might be what we might call the commute cortisol cascade. That's a fancy name I gave it. For me, I, for a very long time, rejected the commute life. I remember any time, you know, I moved up to Oregon, Portland area from around 2014 until 2021. And I had a commute. I mean, I was, especially post pandemic, I was going to and from my client's house all the time. And I was okay with it because everything from where I was located in Portland was very centric. Nothing was really longer than 25 minutes. And that was like the furthest clients that I ever drove to. And that was only like two times a week. So for me, long time in the car was not ever something that I dealt with. You know, you deal with the bad drivers and all that stuff, which kind of, you know, we'll talk about a little bit more in a second. But moving back to California has been interesting, because I always remember visiting and being like, oh my God, that traffic looks horrible. Can't catch me in that. Couldn't ever make me do that again. And then unfortunately, moving out to Monterey Bay Area and still maintaining my Bay Area clients for quite a while, like several years, I did that stupid commute. It was hour and a half and sometimes 2 hours, several days a week. And it was horrible. So I feel so sorry for everybody who, or I have a lot of compassion rather for everybody who does that commute daily, because you may not even realize, even though it's part of your day to day, how much of a stress cascade you're probably experiencing. And so that's why I call it the commute cortisol cascade, because you probably have no idea that you're in low grade fight or flight the entire time because of traffic stress. And if you're like living somewhere like me where it is pretty much impossible to just put on cruise control and get from A to B, then you definitely are experiencing low grade fight or flight. And that's not healthy for your immune system and your nervous system. Your immune system will be part of that downstream effect, but your nervous system really is not happy when you have that in your life. So, but then you're probably thinking, Kale, so like, how the heck am I supposed to get rid of that? So for me, I know I have a different work-life situation where I fortunately am able to shift. I was able to shift those clients into virtual clients so that, you know, we can maintain our workouts and our weekly check-ins together, but not have to physically be there, which is not easy for everyone. However, it could be, right? Have you ever thought about shifting some of your work if you are service-based, or, you know, maybe you can have discussions if you're a part of a smaller company? You know, of course, with big companies that may not be an option, But perhaps if your biggest goal and your, like, if your health is really truly impacting you every single day, perhaps it is a good time to explore how you can make the hard decisions that protect and optimize your life for the big picture. Because I think sometimes we get into a space where, like, I couldn't possibly change jobs. I heard the job market is so crappy, you know, blah, 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 blah. Yes and no. You know, there's always so many opportunities out there. I have, you know, my little brother he just graduated college and he was working at, you know, I'm not going to like put all of his information on here, but he was working for like kind of a generic, easy to get job right out of college that a lot of people tend to have. And then they have just been very poor at scheduling him well and not really valuing his time. And so he went searching for something else. It's a completely different industry, completely different thing, much better pay hourly. And they hired him because, you know, there's so many places that are hiring. You just have to look, and you also just have to expand your opportunities, because I think a lot of people don't have that confidence in themselves that, you know, even if it's not familiar to you now, you can learn it. And if it's something that you're interested in, then that's even more so a reason that you should explore out. And if it improves your quality of life, like you're working closer to home, you do not have to do 45-minute plus commutes every day, think of how much better your life is going to be, even though you have that short-term discomfort. So get really creative about your you know, career situation if you are somebody who struggles with the commute, because that's something, hands down, I had to come to grips with, and I was so scared to do it. And now at this point on the other end of it, I'm like, why didn't I do it sooner? Because I really know that that impacted my health for longer than it needed to. So that's my encouragement. Vampire one, try to figure out how you can navigate your life in a more positive direction if you have that commute cortisol cascade. Okay, vampire number two, the overscheduling trap. So, you know, some people have said back-to-back meetings are the new smoking, which is so true, because you don't have any downshift time and you need that downtime. And downtime is not scrolling. Maybe for some of you it is. Downtime is like quiet space, like a 15-minute walk outside where there's some trees or grass at least. You know, ideally, if you have more nature around you, that'd be even better. But we're being realistic, right? Not everybody has that opportunity. So if you can do something, even like sitting in a room and doing some box breathing, that would be very important for helping your nervous system kind of downregulate, downshift, and make sure that you're not just going like bam, 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 like next thing, next thing, next thing. I am the worst person, I've done this many times before for like probably the last 12 years, especially with my business, because I figure if I block out time on my calendar and I smash everyone together, it's going to be easier for me to navigate the day and have more downtime to myself outside of it. What I did not realize was smashing everyone together and banging out like 8 hours of work, or some, even some days like 5 hours of work, was a lot that I didn't realize that my nervous system couldn't even really downshift unless I did a very specific regrounding kind of practice, like, you know, like walking or cooking a meal. Or, you know, some people think that cooking a meal is overwhelming and they're like, that's way too confusing for me, or way too much work, like that's not relaxing to me. I'm going to be doing an episode this season talking a lot more about how you can reestablish and repair your relationship to cooking food, or maybe build one in the first place, because something that I've learned from one of my courses this term with the Healing Foods course, as well as my, we had to take a cooking class. It really repaired my relationship to cooking and seeing it more as a therapeutic kind of meditative practice that was also healing my body by cooking foods at home and knowing that I'm making something that's going to nourish myself and help my body repair from the stress that I had choose to partake in every day, even though it's stress I am joyful about, because I love my clients. I love the work that I do and the work that I'm going to be doing, especially after I finish this grad program. So with that said, you know, overscheduling is something that we really can sneak into our lives because we get addicted to that, like, I got so much stuff to do. And there's that feeling of like, I perform better when I'm doing more things. And like, yes and no. Sometimes it's just that we haven't practiced being in a calm state enough to be able to balance, you know, being lazy or being calm, or checking out or being organized and at peace. You know, there's a lot that you can learn and relearn that can help you be a little bit more comfortable going from, you know, an obligatory stress state because of a meeting or something like that, and then in a downshift kind of calm, reparative state. Because a lot of the world now is constantly in this fight or flight, or there's the other one, it's kind of like wired and tired, which is, you know, a very classic sign that you might have HPAD if you are one of those people that just like for some reason can't chill, like you just make yourself busy just to be busy and you don't realize it, you don't necessarily love it, or maybe it's become part of your personality. Maybe people tease you about it, or they for some reason praise you about it, because, you know, that's conventional life now, or society, that unfortunately overworkedness is romanticized. And so we want to make sure that we break from that, right? We want to make sure that we take that little space for ourselves, even if it's a 5-minute buffer, or ideally a 15-minute buffer between different things, and be really clever. You know, if you are somebody like me who runs off their Google Calendar or whatever calendar every single day, you might benefit really well from scheduling those spaces and making it a color that makes you feel good, that makes you happy when you see it on your calendar, so that you know this is time for you. So like for me, my time, Kaylee things, anything that's a Kaylee thing, including yoga, acupuncture, gym, it's all this like kind of dark purple color for me. So whenever I see that in my calendar, I feel happier when I see it more balanced throughout my work week versus just all of my, you know, work notifications and appointments and schoolwork things, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that's my vampire number two, overscheduling trap. Try to see where in your life you can adjust some things and make more transition periods and a little more space for yourself. And rituals, you know, bringing in your morning and evening rituals that work those in every single day, because you don't deserve to be the last part on your list to take care of. You have to take care of yourself first. Otherwise, you can't take care of anybody ever again at all because you're going to burn out. Nobody wants to burn out. Okay, and then the next vampire, number three, decision fatigue overload. So this one is kind of easy to forget about and not even think as something that could contribute to your energy draining little by little every day. So whether that's like your breakfast choices or outfit decisions or activity of the day or exercise of the day, you know, your brain is probably exhausted before 9 a.m. and you likely are just going to steamroll through your day into whatever feels easiest or most or the least bit of friction, right? And the hidden cost of choice overwhelm is, for especially for high performing women, is you're wasting these little precious nuggets of energy that you need, right? For that stuff that really matters to you. And, you know, all these things can really matter to you for sure, but then let's put systems in place that help you stop having that decision fatigue and stressing yourself out over the little things, you know what I mean? Or maybe it's like delegating, you know, one of my solutions would be delegate more of those little things that you, when you take audit of yourself after listening to this episode and see those little ways where you're just like adding more stress without realizing it, would be making sure that you are splitting duties with your partner. Like, let's say, you know, you have somebody else that you can share the load with. If you are somebody, you know, for me, for a very long time, I was always like, well, I could do it better, or I'm going to do it the way that I want it done, or blah, 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 blah. That's really disempowering to your partner, because that's not letting them step up to the plate to help you out more. And if your partner really loves you, you know, like I'd assume they would, then they should have that kind of innate desire to help you out more. You know, if they don't, that's maybe not a good thing. You know, maybe that's a discussion you need to have or something you need to, maybe they are an energy vampire and you might need to remove them. No, I'm just kidding. But it is really important for you to know that you can share the load better and you should empower your partners to be there for you and step up to the plate and do more to support you, because that's what partnership is in reality. You know, however your partnership looks, like, it should be the foundation of your relationship, that you're in this relationship together because you want to create a life together. And that means, you know, what's the point of having somebody else in your life if all you're doing is everything for you guys and everything for yourself, and they just are existing and enjoying not having to do anything for themselves or for you or whatever? Like, that's lazy. And there is a lot of discussion nowadays, especially for the kind of dynamics of the male and female relationship, where a lot of males who came from, you know, latchkey kid parents or just you know, kind of modern American parenting where, like, both parents had to work and so they were never home. Motherless boys is essentially the concept I'm talking about. And so they talk about how there's been a lot of males who did not have a good quality relationship with their mom. And so then they end up seeking a lot of what they never got from their mother from their partners. And this can be very challenging because then the female is taking on another duty they didn't sign up for. They want a partner who's self-sufficient and supportive and can hold space for cyclical things, you know, like our periods and PMS and various things like that, but also for helping around the house and helping raise the children more actively and, you know, doing that stuff without necessarily being asked. And I will say, you know, in our relationship, we've grown so much in my own personal life that, like, my husband does do a lot of sharing the chores around the house, because I tell this to a lot of my friends who struggle with this dynamic, that, you know, they have to live in a house regardless of if you're here. So why all of a sudden do you need to be taking care of maintaining a household if just so that they could live in it and not have to maintain a household? Even if, you know, like, a lot of the times people think, like, oh, well, you know, I think about it more, and, like, they don't think about it, because in reality, a lot of males are not raised to think about all the little things of maintaining a household. Doesn't mean that they can't, though. And I would say our relationship is living proof that you can. You just have to go through kind of the growing pains of being more explicit about, like, hey, these are the things that I do around the house that you may not notice. Can we help share this load? Can we help share these things? Because you would need these done anyways if I wasn't living here. So then you would be doing them. So just because I'm here doesn't mean that I do them now. Like, this is something that we both do because we both are occupying a space together, right? And that's just as logical as it gets. And that's how my brain works, is, like, I had the same argument about the toilet seat thing. Like, I am not going to touch it and put it down, because if you chose to move it out of the neutral space, which is it down, and you decided to put it up for whatever reason you want to, then you can put it back down because you've already touched it. I'm not going to touch something that I didn't have to touch if it is not in the position that is neutral for both parties, right? So you can use that one too if you have never gotten to get through to your partner about the toilet seat thing. But those are just some little examples of, like, other areas, you know, in your life that you may not be leaning on enough, you know, especially if you have a partner. If you don't have a partner, then this is a really good time for you to kind of take inventory about where you can actually optimize a lot of your lifestyle habits throughout your day. You know, maybe you start to set out your clothing and prep your breakfast the night before, like, when you have downtime, when you're casually watching a Netflix show or whatever. There's so much you can actually do simultaneously while watching a Netflix show that's not going to, like, spike up your nervous system, even though half of the Netflix shows nowadays are spiking nervous systems because they're just outrageous. But I would say that you can explore ways where you can kind of habit stack in a way and get more done without it necessarily being like, oh, you need to jam all these things together and make yourself more stressed. Of course, if you do that and it gets more stressful for you, you're probably not executing that to the way that is best for your nervous system. So think about putting together, like, what I will do is I have this muesli blend that I like, and I make my own almond milk at home now because it's just got more nutrients and a lot less chemicals and things like that. And I will kind of mix my overnight oats with my chia seeds and stuff and my pumpkin seeds and my almond milk and prep those in my little jars for a couple of days while I'm watching like a rom-com or something, you know. And it's super easy. You're not really that distracted. You're still doing something you enjoy, like watching Netflix, but you're also taking care of yourself for the next day, right? So you have breakfast in the morning. You don't.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I need to freak out about like, oh my God, I can't scramble eggs or something like that, right? So think about the little ways that you're kind of fatiguing yourself with various decisions throughout your day and see how you can optimize that as well. All right, energy vampire number four is the gut inflammation and energy connection. So if you've been following my social media on Instagram page, in my broadcast channel specifically, I've been talking a lot more about my gut healing journey because one of the things that I was observing and decided to commit to while on my break, in my little summer break, was finally putting in the effort and attention and love and care into my gut health as I did everything else in my life, because I was realizing my gut wasn't right. There's a lot of different symptoms. I'm going to talk more about that too in one of the upcoming episodes. And I was tired of just kind of half-assing, for lack of better words, my gut health. It was like good quality probiotics, or every once in a while, you know, I'd start the day with aloe vera juice, like you're supposed to help with your gut lining and blah, blah, blah. But once I got my gut, my GI map gut test back, like from around, I think it was April of earlier this year, I could see the dysfunction in my gut and I had the markers for leaky gut. So as I was getting my blood work redone to kind of check in on how my health stuff is going, I was the most concerned because my thyroid was showing signs of hypothyroidism. Subclinical, so it was creeping up. These are things that you can catch. I don't care what your doctor tells you. You can totally catch these things. And it is not always just a thyroid-specific problem. For me, your thyroid, I was learning that my thyroid was deeply connected to my gut dysbiosis. So I needed to attack and pay more attention to taking good care of my gut health if I wanted to have the health and vitality I was seeking, especially because in the near future, you know, if we decide to have a kid, I also don't want to pass some of that dysbiotic situation to my child. And this is a very good discussion that, again, we will be having more of soon here. But I think it's really important that we understand, like, all your signs of IBS or, you know, constant bloating, you know, energy, like constant fatigue, skin issues, gurgly stomach, various things, poor consistency with your stools. Those are all signs that you should be paying attention to, because our gut is, you know, they say our gut is our second brain. It for sure is. It's so many things for our body. Actually, one of my courses this term is gut microbiome, and I'm absolutely obsessed with learning more about it. But it is also simultaneously very complex and confusing. So we have to pay attention to the symptoms your specific gut is giving you and not ignore it constantly and not just be like, eh, I'm going to be okay with having like painful stomach aches because I want to eat this cheesecake several nights a week or something, you know? It might be time for you to be like, okay, maybe I should cut out something I know is bothering my stomach. For me, that was gluten and dairy, but dairy mostly, because I can get away with eating dairy once in a while and not have any like significant symptoms. But something that I do notice and that I've always noticed, and even my sister who has the same genetics as me will notice, is our skin starts to show signs that it's not so happy about our consistent dairy consumption. And my sister can actually get away with a little bit more dairy than I can. However, for me, dominantly, like my skin on my face will break out the most with dairy consumption. However, what you don't see is that, why is your skin breaking up? Well, it's because your intestinal lining is inflamed and your little gaps between the cells in your gut that help you absorb nutrients are actually now leaky, meaning they have gaps in them and things that are not supposed to be getting into your bloodstream are, and your skin is now the last place that you will detox those things, those foreign particles out of your body. And so therefore, now you are dealing with a bigger issue that is all stemming from gut inflammation, right? Chronic gut inflammation. This is how leaky gut happens. And leaky gut can also happen from, you know, not only foods that you constantly eat that cause inflammation, but also lifestyle factors. So for me, for sure, it's been chronic stress. And that absolutely has played a huge role in my leaky gut like circumstances, as well as opportunistic bad bacteria that can grow in imbalance, because we always have bad bacteria in our gut. We always have pathogens. We always have, you know, but we call them pathogens. That is the bad stuff. We always have worms. There's all a lot of little things that I've been learning that we always have, and you do not want to kill them off without knowing what your unique gut situation is like. Okay, so don't just sign up for that parasite cleanse. Don't just sign up for some massive candida protocol that, like, if you don't know that you have it, then don't do it, okay? You can get a GI map. It's going to be live on my website soon. You can order it for yourself on there, or you can order it through your functional medicine practitioner. You can always order it through my site and, like, bring it to your medicine your practitioner. There's so many resources that, you know, these are clinical tests. They're not prescriptive-based tests, so you can do these on your own at home and then get the interpretations done to kind of get a better idea. I'm going to be giving you guys some more resources on that soon, but I think it's really important that you know that your gut inflammation and the stress connection will impact your energy, and you're leaking energy by having leaky gut. This is another way to put leaky gut, I suppose. So you may be having the complex scenario of your gut being an energy vampire, like I did. And I saw it because my TSH on my blood work was slowly creeping up. And one of those things from a functional medicine perspective can absolutely be your gut health. So I could no longer ignore it, rather. And so for me now, after coming out of a solid 2 months of it wasn't that strict. It was stricter, but like I found clever ways to enjoy it because I do enjoy cooking and whatnot. But for me, I am so much in a better place now because of that. And I retested, and certain very, you know, invasive pathogenic bacteria, I did end up getting rid of them, which is great. So for you, I would definitely say, see what foods are bothering you, what you get reactions to. Try to cut them out or avoid them for a little while. See if things start to improve. And, you know, that could even look like your sleep is improving. And that will be really helpful for you to have a better chance at repairing this little energy vampire drain. All right, the final energy vampire that could be a really long episode on its own, but I'm going to keep it simple for now. Vampire number 5 is unprocessed emotional weight. So this one is particularly important for those of you who, like me, like to avoid facing like trauma or grief that you've experienced. And if there is one thing that I was just talking to a couple of friends about recently that I faced head on that I didn't really want to for the longest time in this huge life overhaul of like soft girl season meets soft girl year, is that you cannot run from your little demons. They will just keep jumping on your back. And so if you don't process your trauma or your grief, it will hang out. It will bother your vagal nerve. It will, you know, which is a very important component to your nervous system. And, you know, it's pretty much what you activate by breath work. So that's where like the box breathing can really help and be a powerful tool that, you know, even Navy SEALs use. And it's something that, you know, you might want to explore. So it's an area where you probably want to spend a little bit of time with a therapist, you know, Reiki masseuse, breathwork specialist, you know, various things in that side of the world of life with, you know, health practitioners and wellness practitioners, I would say in general, that can really help you kind of tune into that if you are having a hard time accessing it on your own. If you are able to access it on your own, some powerful tools can be like journaling, meditation, walking, I guess it's considered walking meditation, and even just, you know, tuning in and having some time with like a close friend or your partner that you can trust with discussion on these challenging situations that you may have lived through or are living through, whatever it is. It's so important that you have a really solid community. So really lean into your community when trying to deal with this energy vampire number five, because it's one of those things that you just kind of, you think you can ignore and just live your life and move on, but you really do need to process some of that emotional weight. It doesn't have to be all of it. You don't have to live in that state for a long term. In fact, it's actually recommended that you don't just chill and dwell in, you know, your traumas and your grief for too long, because it can start to have a negative impact. But it is really important, especially for high achievers like me and like you, to process those emotional wounds so that you can let it go, move forward, and, you know, access that vitality that you're really looking for. Cutting that energy drainer is so important, because I think so many of us ignore that, because I know I did for many, many years. All right, guys, so if there's some things that I could leave you with, we'll call it the rebel reset. We want to make sure that you know you don't have to fix everything all at once. We do not want perfection, okay? We're breaking from the perfectionist side of our life for those of you who are also high achievers. It's very important that you pick one vampire to tackle at a time. Maybe you pick one this week, maybe you pick one this month, and you do your best to stick to it, you know? Take inventory of what your life is like. Like audit it, like we were talking about before. Make sure that you're paying attention to little ways that you're draining your energy that you may not have realized beforehand. And, you know, don't do the 1% rule. So tiny, consistent changes add up over time. Little by little, little becomes a lot. That's one of my favorite phrases. Versus these big dramatic overhauls, because they always fail. They always fail. Okay. I've worked with hundreds of clients over the last over 10 years now. The ones who do big dramatic overhauls always fail, okay? They never stick to it. They never have long-term success. It's always a mess. So I want to make sure you know that you don't be like, okay, I'm all hyped up from this conversation. I'm going to do keto tomorrow and I'm going to start meditating and I'm going to blah, blah, blah. It's going to be too much. It's going to overwhelm you. It's way too dramatic from your current lifestyle. It's never going to stick. I'm a big realist. A lot of my clients know this. So pick one little thing and then add in another little thing. And over time, little by little, it'll become a lot. Okay. So last thing I'll say is make sure to track your energy levels when you are trying to decide what is actually working, what is moving the needle. If you don't have any way to monitor your progress, you're never going to know if you're making progress. Like, it sounds very matter of fact and like the, but unfortunately, a lot of us don't. And I, you know, even from my training days, I would have to practically force clients to take progress pictures of themselves, because I'm like, trust me, you will wish that you had taken these so you could see your progress, because I'm going to always be able to see your progress and you are definitely making it, but you're not going to be able to see your progress if you don't do that. Even if you don't love how you look right now, you know, you got to take pictures for the, to compare, or, you know, that's just an example. You also could be writing down in a journal, this is how I feel right now. I'm super stressed. If I had to rate my energy levels on 1 to 10, I'm at a 6 or a 4, and this is why, you know. And then come back in a month and do the same exact prompts. You know, it doesn't have to be complex, and keep tracking and see your progress, because it's also a way to motivate yourself, okay? So to kind of go back over each different vampire, first one, check in on your commute. Maybe you're having that commute cortisol cascade that I was talking about. Vampire number 2, overscheduling yourself. See how you can be a lot, work smarter, not harder, all right? Vampire number 3, that decision fatigue overload. We don't realize how much we can make those choices ahead of time to make our next day better. That's something I definitely have had to do for myself. Energy vampire number 4, your gut inflammation and how it's impacting your health and energy is extremely important, because it can be sabotaging you without you cognizantly realizing it. And vampire number 5, that unprocessed emotional weight is super important for you to check in on and work through. You know, maybe you just commit to yourself for a month or two to finally dive into it, and then you move forward, you know, and then I promise you, you'll feel so much better. I'm living proof of it right now. So, all right, Rebel, that's it for today's episode. I hope that it resonated with you, at least some area of it, because I would love to hear from you which energy vampire you're tackling first, or if there's anyone that I haven't talked about that you think is very important that you are working on yourself. DM me on Instagram. You can find my links in the show notes. And I also want to encourage you to come join our community and whatnot, because that is going to be the best place for you to continue to grow with us if you resonate with my message in general. But as always, celebrate your strength and nourishment, walk with confidence, and I will catch you on another episode of Rebel Wellness. All right, Rebel, that's another episode in the books. If you're sitting there thinking, oh my God, this actually makes sense now, do me a favor, screenshot this episode, tag me at Kaylee Loren or at Rebel Wellness Podcast on Instagram, and tell me which piece hit different. Your aha moments literally make my entire week. Want more of this energy? Jump on my newsletter, where I spill the tea on everything from bloodwork interpretation to why your cravings aren't a character flaw. It's the unfiltered stuff that would make this episode 3 hours long. So if you want more of that, join our newsletter on my website, coachkales.com. And listen, if this show is becoming your weekly dose of someone finally gets it, please smash that 5-star rating on Spotify, or please drop us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps us grow and expand and share more education with more women like you who need it. You know, it's really important that we support our sisters. Real talk though, disclaimer time, I'm dropping knowledge, not prescriptions. Everything here is educational. I'm not diagnosing, treating, or replacing your healthcare team. Think of me as your research-obsessed bestie who happens to know a lot more about hormones, gut health, and all the good stuff than your hairdresser or that random health guru that you're not quite sure if you should trust her background. Keep questioning the status quo, keep trusting your body's wisdom, and keep showing up for yourself. You're doing better than you think, and I'll be right here cheering you on. Catch you next week.